Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hi, I'm your host, Angela Loeb, and welcome to today's show, Work as a Spiritual Practice. Now, today I want to talk about how you can make your work into a spiritual practice. More specifically, how you can do it and still live within a secular framework. After all, the most obvious way to make work into a spiritual practice is to do something like join a religious order or get a job in a house of worship like a church, a synagogue, a temple. But, you know, if that's not an option for you, then how do you consciously integrate your career or your job into a spiritual practice? What does all that mean and what is that about? Now, this is a topic that I'm really excited about because it blends two of my very strong areas of interest, career and spirituality. It's not too often that I get to talk about these two topics at one time. Now, in case you don't know it, since about 1991, my profession has been centered around helping people in their career in some form or another. I've taken different paths with it. I've worked supporting people as they go after what they want to do to fulfill their dreams and use their talents. I've worked in a vocational school, I've worked as a recruiter, and I've worked as a career coach and advisor. I've written a few books about it, as well as hundreds of articles about it. I've co-produced and co-hosted a radio show during the 2009-2010 recession, and I've given countless talks and workshops about career and job search, and even to this day, I teach managers how to do informational interviewing and behavioral type of interviewing. Now, for spiritual practice, exploring spirituality, well, I've been into that since I was a little girl. I'm going to give a big piece of the credit to my mom because she really helped me to nurture this interest. She is today and has always been a spiritual seeker and a questioner. Now, it was definitely solidly entrenched in me because I've always been fascinated by what I learned in religious studies at school. I spent kindergarten, first grade, and seventh grade in Catholic school. And when I was 13, I took catechism to prepare for confirmation. I pulled books, though, for my mom's private collection to read. I mean, her books were always pretty eclectic, covering a wide range of topics from Eastern and Western mysticism and philosophy. And like I said, my mom was a questioner, and clearly I was one too. It's something we always had in common. Let me just tell you, when I was a teenager, we'd have these long, deep discussions, sometimes lasting into the wee hours of the night. I'd come home from a date on a Saturday night, and we'd stay up talking. Now, how many kids want to talk to their mom when they're teenagers, much less about spiritual stuff? But we had this in common. We discussed theories and what-ifs and, I mean, questions that seemed to have some logical answers at that time. Some that still to this day remain unanswered in my mind. And later in college, I took religious studies classes. I've attended workshops, lectures. I was just reading about this stuff this morning in Carolyn Mice's book, Sacred Contracts. I have certain friends, you know who you are, and my sister Gina, who I still love to talk about their spiritual views. I love to hear about observations, questions, their personal conclusions. So here we go, blending career and spiritual, and not in the way you think. This program today isn't about life purpose, so certainly that might be a focus for you in regard to making your work into a spiritual thing for yourself, and I've talked about that on this show. I've written a book about it. But what I mean is, and what I'm saying here, is how can we make our work into a spiritual practice? So first off, let's talk about what a spiritual practice is. According to one of my all-time favorite internet sources, and I'm sure yours too, Wikipedia, it's the regular or full-time performance of actions and activities undertaken for the purpose of cultivating spiritual development. So it's regular actions you take, and your goal is spiritual development. So how can you make work into a spiritual practice, into something that you can use toward your spiritual development? Like I said before, if your goal is spiritual development and it's not practical to go join a monastic order, become a monk or a nun, and you know you can't go get a job in an ashram, then what can you do to consciously integrate your career or your job into your spiritual practice? I believe the first step is to acknowledge two of the most prevalent paradigms or thought patterns that cause us to leave the most important parts of ourselves behind when we go to work. Yes, there's a lot of us that separate out work. I think the first paradigm, number one paradigm shift that has to happen is around there's my work life and there's the rest of my life. In his famous book, The Prophet, Cahill Gibran wrote, "When you work with love, you bind yourself to yourself and to one another and to God." Sounds fabulous, doesn't it? To go to your job and experience love and unity with yourself, others, and God. Yet, many of us don't know such unity. We tend to break down our lives into various categories and call each one a life. For example, there's the family life, the social life, the spiritual life, and the work life. And there are just a few of those, I mean, that's just some of the popular categories that I hear people say. When you compartmentalize your life like this, it becomes difficult to really experience unity with yourself, others, and God, like Gibran suggests. It becomes, you know, hard to look at your special gifts and fulfill your purpose at work. You think you'll find a way to do that more fulfilling work somewhere else, perhaps as a parent in your family life. You know, you call that family life. Or by volunteering in your spiritual community, and you might call that spiritual life, and so forth. You can choose this paradigm if you want to. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying that is what most of us choose. Or you can choose to look at your life holistically, wholly, and see all the parts of it as interconnected. You can choose to bring who you really are to what you do in all parts of your life, including your work. And you see, this is where I come from. This is what I think we need to do, is more of an integration of bringing our work life into focus this way and looking at all of our lives. If we can't fulfill ourselves in one area, why can't we be fulfilling ourselves in another? But anyway, so let's look at paradigm two. Number two, work is drudgery. You know, another reason we forego using our special gifts in the workplace is that somewhere along the way, many of us agreed to be less naive. You know, we bought into the falsehood that we're not supposed to love our work or work with love. It's possible that when you were just starting out in your career, you believed that you would be able to make a difference you were meant to make in the world. Your idealism, though, you know, got shattered against the harsh reality. You know, your manager, the company leaders, they didn't really care about your special gifts or your life's mission. They just want you to do a job. They want to, you know, just do your job, get your paycheck, shut up, do your job, you know. They simply wanted you to do what you were assigned to do. And, you know, if you let them, they could squash your gifts, and you can find this way you need to fit in and put your gifts aside. And you looked at that and you went, okay, now I have security. That's okay. I put my gifts aside, but at least I have security. And, you know, they did that. You thought that's what you had to do too. Now, when you're in this thought paradigm, you see people who clearly love their work. You see them out there. You see them work with love, and you think they're just lucky. That's all. You think not everyone can do that. If you're the optimistic type, you might even believe that you'll eventually get to do what you love, maybe when you retire. But not for now. Work is drudgery, so you just accept it. You can shift this paradigm, I believe, and I've seen it many times. I've done it in my own life. When you decide that they, you know, those people who made you buy into this, they don't know best after all. And you agree instead with what Gibran says when he says, quote, "Always you have been told that work is a curse and labor a misfortune, but I say to you that when you work, you fulfill a part of Earth's furthest dream assigned to you when that dream was born," end quote. Okay, so those are the two most prevalent thought patterns I've come across, that work is separate and can't be integrated as part of the whole of your life, that your work is drudgery, a curse, a misfortune. Well, I'm not sure I believe that, but you know, that is what a lot of us do buy into. And, you know, I have too. That's how I used to think about it too, until I got into this idea, spiritually, what if work was part of my spiritual practice? Now, the next step after shifting these paradigms of thought so that you can actually look at your work as a spiritual practice is to figure out what a spiritual practice means for you, what it would entail for you. And on that note, this is the perfect time to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about taking it to the next step, going from this thought paradigm, these shifts of thought, to what do you actually do to make work a spiritual practice for yourself. And I have something to tell you that might surprise you about all this. I mean, when it occurred to me, it surprised me. It changed everything for me. Okay, so I'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. Enjoy the music break. For that great song. It's called Swaying Daisies. Loved it. That was great. Okay, before the break, we were talking about two of the most prevalent thought forms that you need to change if you want to really embrace the idea that work can be a spiritual practice. You cannot go into this mindset if you're first thinking that your work life and the rest of your life is somehow separate. And you also cannot go into trying to make your work a spiritual practice if you think that work is drudgery, something that you have to put up with doing just to get by in this world. If you were on the same page with me already, though, before we discussed all that, then hooray! Woohoo! That's awesome. For you, you know, we have just reinforced and refreshed you on your journey of accepting the wisdom your life is giving you. For the rest of us, though, maybe this is a new concept. And if so, I'm hoping it's making a profound impact for you, that the kind that it had on me when this all started sinking in with me. Now, I want to talk to you about what happens when you shift your thinking? The next step toward making your work into a spiritual practice, and that entails understanding who you really are and what is meant by a spiritual practice. Now, remember what I was saying now. A spiritual practice is the performance of actions and activities that you do for the purpose of cultivating spiritual development. Now, what are you? That is a big question, right? And what are you? You know, who are you? That was most wisely described by, and I'm going to try to say his name correctly, he's a Frenchman, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. Now, his work was his spiritual practice for sure. He was a Jesuit priest, and he said, quote, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience," end quote. This profound statement, when I first heard it, it put everything into perspective. It really tells you who you truly are. You're a spiritual being, not a human being, a spiritual being having a human experience. Now, here's the kicker. the part that I said to you before that I found surprising, that once I figured it out, it was like a bolt of lightning of understanding for me. You see, since your goal for a spiritual practice is to develop your spirituality, and if you're truly a spiritual being, then your human experiences are the regular actions you take every day. That means the act of living is your spiritual practice when you're doing it consciously. Every act of living has the potential of becoming your spiritual practice, including whatever you're doing as work. The trick to this is doing everything consciously, of course, with wide awakeness, with open eyes and open-hearted present moment focus. When you reach this level of awareness, you question how engaged you are with living and having a human experience. You no longer see yourself as simply living and what you do for your work as separate from your true essence. So you see this kind of blends it together when you see it this way. Since your human experience, it's the regular actions you take every day, and your goal for spiritual practice is to perform actions that cultivate your spiritual development. I mean, how can you not spiritually develop? You have to. Since you're really a spiritual being having human experience, then it's at that point you understand that every action you take at work can be taken with the purpose of spiritual development. You can't not do it. Once you become conscious of this, you can't not do it. You realize that whatever you do with that level of awareness is your spiritual practice. Okay, are you letting that sink in? Are you getting it? There's nothing you must do to make your work into a spiritual practice. That is, other than change your perspective. This is all about a thought shift, merely and only a thought shift. So let's run through it. First off, here's how you've been seeing yourself. You might say, I see myself as working to make money, and I do this or I do that for a living, and I enjoy it or I don't enjoy it. Or you say, I see that the work I do is part of that world over there, separate from my inner life, separate from the other parts of my life, because I just want to work to live, not live to work. Or you might say, basically, it's just something I must do. I don't have a choice. I don't want to be present in that because it's drudgery, and I can't wait for the time when I'm off work so I can really relax and enjoy my life. Or, hey, work isn't what I love doing because what I really love more is spending time with my kids, and they don't pay me for that. Or I love gardening, fixing up the classic hot rod in my garage, or perfecting my breaststroke in the swimming pool. And, of course, your work allows you to afford to do that, but it's not the same. And it's definitely not like a spiritual practice. Or is it? See, that's the thing. You might also say a spiritual practice is when you go to church, synagogue, or temple. It's when you sit quiet in meditation. It's when you hang out in an ashram. Or maybe it's when you walk a labyrinth or sit on a mountaintop and gaze at the view, right? Well, food for thought. There's this famous Zen proverb that I think speaks clearly about how there's no separation from spiritual life and work life. It captures perfectly this idea that work in everything you do in life, whether it's spending time playing with your children, improving your breaststrokes, sitting on top of a mountain, tinkering in your garage, doesn't matter, it's all a spiritual practice. The proverb goes, before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. Isn't that great? As I was looking up the exact wording for the proverb, which I heard many years ago, I found it the other day, and I found this excellent little article by Thomas D. Craig. He's the author of A Cup of Buddha, in which he reflects on the meaning of the proverb in his article. And he says, quote, a common misconception in following a spiritual life is the belief that in order to follow the practice that one must live in a cave, wear a saffron robe, and beg for alms. He goes on to say, it is possible to have a spiritual existence without a shaved head and a bamboo cup. Many masters in India, as well as spiritual practitioners across the globe, live a regular life with a family and a job. He rightly points out, break life down into the simplicity of the present moment. As human beings, we do not live in the present moment. We carry our past forward with us, we yearn for something in the future, and all the time we miss what is in front of us at all times. Life is beautiful right in front of us at every moment, end quote. Then, and here's where I realized that he pinpoints exactly what I'm trying to say about work as a spiritual practice. He says, quote, in the early days in the Zen monasteries, the number of monks grew to the point that it was necessary to split up tasks, chores throughout the day to keep the place running. It was impractical to have to sit in meditation all day as there was upkeep and food needed. The practice of meditation while awake and doing chores was brought into practice. This practice was a supplement to the actual sitting meditation with the intent to find presence at all times throughout the day. Do not let your mind wander. Bring forth to the present moment, be it listening to another, focusing on a task, or going for a walk, end quote. So what he's saying there is that you can do a working meditation. You don't have to be in prayer. You don't have to be in meditation, like quietly sitting, chanting ohms and burning incense in order to have a profound experience. You can be so present focused in the moment with what you're doing that it can become a spiritual moment for you if you are aware of it, if you become aware of it. Craig closes the article with a call to action list, and I want to pass this along to you. Three little steps that I think when you hear them, you'll realize that they're not really actions at all. They're really shifts in your perception. Anyway, I know that if you follow his advice, you will transform your work activities and, in fact, all of your daily tasks into your spiritual practice. So number one, he says, to quote, create the distinction within yourself that you are a spiritual being. Once you declare this, then you will look for actions consistent with this way of being. See, that's just what we learned about the Jesuit priest, De Chardin. That, I like want to repeat what he said, once you declare this, then you will look for actions consistent with this way of being. So it's all about raising your awareness, noticing, right? Okay, number two. And here's the secret for how to be in a spiritual practice constantly, though admittedly it's simple to understand, even if it's a huge challenge to do, and that is to, quote, stay present with what you are doing at all times. Be with people. Be with your task, end quote. He adds, and I agree, multitasking is overrated. It takes away from being present. I'm saying amen to that. And here's his third call to action to be in a spiritual practice always, and that is be love. Be love. What great advice. Be love. Be love while you're working. Be present and be love while you're working. And you are automatically doing your spiritual practice. Now, let's tie all that together with this excellent thought. We go circling back to Cahil Gibran. He said it in such a lovely way, as always. He said, and to love life through labor is to be intimate with life's inmost secret. Yes, now that's what I'd call the epitome of the goal of a spiritual practice, to be intimate with life's inmost secret. So when you're working, how can you do that? How can you be intimate with life's inmost secret? If you are where you're meant to be, and if you believe that you are where you're meant to be in every present moment, then what you're doing right now, listening to this, for instance, is part of your spiritual practice. You are a spiritual being having a human experience, right? So this human experience of listening to this is part of your spiritual practice. Walking to your car consciously and present, getting into your car, going into the traffic, commuting to work, getting to work, saying hi to your coworker, sitting down at your desk if you do that, if that's part of your work. Everything you do can be a spiritual practice if you are presently focused and you're being love. All right. So now it's time to wrap up today's program. I want to thank you so much for joining me for this discussion. It was pretty deep, right? But the secret of all of this is shifting the way you look at work, right? And I hope you feel invigorated like I feel when I'm thinking about it from this perspective. Next time, join me as we explore the power of gratitude. I've studied this topic quite a lot, too. In fact, Wallace D. Wattles devotes an entire chapter to gratitude in his book, The Science of Getting Rich, which is the subject of one of the online courses that I taught. And gratitude is a powerful manifesting force, as well as an outstanding force for healing. I look forward to passing along what I've learned to you and what I've learned from Wallace D. Wattles about it. And that's next time on June 21st. Now, before I sign off, I want to send out a quick shout-out to Doom Dance and Purple Planet. Thanks for our music. Be sure to check out the links for them on the webpage, as well as to see other resources about today's topics that I'll be adding as well. If you're interested in my books, courses, my other programs, you can check me out and all my links at angelaloeb.com. That's angelaloeb.com. Send me a note through the site if you'd like. I'd love to hear from you. You can also find all my links to social media. I'd love to link and friend and connect with you there, too. And as always, I welcome you to join me here every first and third Sunday on Be Radiant Radio, where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to. Until next time, please be well, be love, and shine on.